Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hi, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on My Journey of Faith. I am so excited about our show today. As I was reading through our guest material about her, I came across a quote that she put, "No picture is pretty without God," in the middle of it, and that is so true. And her life story, the things that she is going to share with us today, will just show you that God is painting a picture of our life when he's in the middle of it. Stephanie Schott is my guest today. She is an author, speaker, ministry leader who leads women to live full, fearless, and faithful lives. She is transparent, authentic, relevant, and vulnerable as she relates to women of all ages and all walks of life. She willingly shares her own painful experience as well as her own fears and failures to minister to audiences who need to know that someone else understands what it means to be weary, wounded, broken, and invisible. I just ask that you welcome Stephanie with us today, and I hope that you find healing, hope, and encouragement. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, Cynthia. It's so great to be with you.
I am so excited to have you on the show today just to kind of share a little bit about your journey of faith. So I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you and let you just kind of jump in from the beginning.
Okay, I'll start where I started. And that is, I wasn't just, an unplanned pregnancy or an unwanted pregnancy. I was a woman's worst nightmare. My birth mom was raped back in the day in 1962. And when that occurred, of course, she had a choice to make. And she was a brave and courageous woman who chose life for me. And we all know there may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental people. And my birth mom knew that. And she went ahead and gave birth to me. And then she did a more courageous thing, and that was place me in the arms of two other parents who would take me home, raise me, and love me as their own. And so that for me was, you know, kind of a hard thing to deal with, the fact that, you know, you're not just an unplanned pregnancy, but you really are the result of such a tragic and horrific event. But my parents took me home, and I had a great family, a great mom, great dad. There were two other people in my family who are so great. And for a decade of my life, I was sexually abused by two different people in my family. And so life for me was pretty difficult. I went through some painful realities, experiences that no child should ever have to experience. And so for me, life was a difficult journey. And I came out of that from the time I was 3 till about the time I was 12 or 13. I came out of that with a very skewed view of life and love and everything in between. And so I started acting out on what had become the norm in my life. You know, I knew it was not normal for these things to be occurring in a person's life, in a child's life. However, that was my normal. And so my normal started defining who I was becoming. And I didn't realize that the choices that I was making were a result of the person I had been molded to become. And so from the age of probably about 13, 14 years old on, my goal was to find somebody who would really just love me. I just wanted to be loved. And I think a lot of young girls experience that same thing, whether they come from an abusive situation or just in their own journey. And so that was my goal. And so I spent many years looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to find someone to love me for who I was that wouldn't treat me abusively. And what I was finding was I kept putting myself in those same situations where I was abused and used over and over again. And in 1987, I was 24 years old at the time, I gave my life to Christ, and at that point, everything changed for me. I became a new creation in Christ, and my whole journey took on a whole new form. I understood that God created me on purpose and for a purpose, and that this, just because I was the result of a rape, did not mean I was less than.
Hmm. That is a very, very wonderful story of how God just showed you, took you through all of that. So how is God using that today? How are you being able to reach out to women?
Well, it's funny how we walk through those things in our past. You know, there are a lot of people that have tragic events, a painful past like that. And one of the things that I've learned through this is things like in Genesis 50:20, where Joseph had been betrayed by his brother, and he's standing before them, and he said, "What you meant for evil against me, God meant for good." And I have found that to be true. What others mean for evil against us, God will weave that together and bring good out of that. Romans 8:28, where it talks about, we know that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And what I love about that is it doesn't say that all things are good. It says that he weaves all things together for the good. And so he takes those ugly strands of our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he brings about something beautiful out of them. I was just reading in Nehemiah today where it talks about how God turns curses into blessings. And that's exactly what he's done in my life, where my past would have been something that I would have ran from. Now it's something that I get to share with other people so that I'm able to speak hope and healing into other people's lives so that they'll understand that God is able to heal the brokenhearted. In Isaiah 61, Cynthia, it says that that's what Jesus came for. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to comfort those who mourn, and to give beauty for the ashes of our lives. But the problem is if we hold on to our ashes, There's nothing we can do to make them beautiful. And so we have to turn over the ashes of our lives so that he can make something beautiful out of them. And that's exactly what he's done in my life, and that's exactly what he wants to do in every person's life who will turn their lives over to him.
That is wonderful. Now, through your journey, God kept weaving your story and painting your picture and did something beautiful when you were able to meet your birth mom. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
So what did God show you through that? How did he love on you through that? Because I'm sure that's a scary time. Here is a person that gave you up. You weren't sure of how the reception was. So how did God play out in that?
That was just such an exciting event and such a God moment. I was raised in a wonderful home with my mom and dad. I mean, I had a great mom and dad, but there was just this something longing to find my birth mom. And one of the reasons I wanted to find her is because I knew I was a Christian, but I didn't know if she was or not. And so I thought, well, wow, if I don't meet her this side of heaven, I'll never get to meet her. And I just really want to, if she doesn't know Jesus, I want to witness to her and tell her about him. And so my mother had always told me that my birth mom was raped. So I knew the background of my story. And knowing that made it very difficult to not only find her, but then to contact her. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on the steps in my kitchen, and I picked up the phone, and I said, "Hi, my name is Stephanie Schott. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, and I think I'm your daughter." And her response was, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And all I could think of was, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And long story short, Cynthia, she had been expecting my phone call because she was a strong Christian woman, and the Lord had revealed to her in her heart about 3 weeks prior, "Your daughter is going to be contacting you." And so she was prepared for me to call her. She'd been waiting for the 27 years, and she'd been praying for me all of my life. And I really believe that my salvation was an answer to her prayer. And I'm so thankful, although I didn't get to be raised in the home with her, that she was brave enough to put me up for adoption and then courageous enough to embrace me when I called her and had been praying for me all of those years.
Oh, wow. That is such a story of redemption and such a, what you said, turning the ashes and redeeming the time. Wow. So tell us a little bit more about what God has got you doing? He's taken this. He's made some beautiful ashes. Ashes turn into some beautiful things in your life, and he has put you on a journey of ministering to women. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
One of the things I do is God allows me to minister to women from the places that I've been, and I think he uses that in a lot of lives of those who are in ministry. And one of the topics, in fact, that I speak on is Broken No More. And we hear a lot about how God uses broken people. But the reality is God fixes broken people. Broken is who we were, and complete is who we are in Christ. And so I really have a passion about helping women discover their new identity in Christ and walk in victory in their new identity in Christ because of who he has created us to be, overcomers, more than conquerors. And so that's something I'm passionate about when I minister to women. But he also has me deep in a ministry called the Mom Initiative, and that is ministering to young moms across the world. It's been an exciting journey. The Mom Initiative is a ministry that is devoted to helping the body of Christ make mentoring missional. You know, Cynthia, I feel as though right now we're at the crossroads in our culture where we are really losing the generations that are coming behind us. And if we reach the moms of this generation, we will reach the children of the next generation. But if we don't, I think we're going to lose them all. And so the Mom Initiative is not only a ministry that helps churches across the country and across the world establish mentoring ministries within their four walls, but it helps it make mentoring missional by taking Titus 2 to the streets, by mentoring moms in homeless shelters, in juvenile shelters, in schools, in community centers, in neighborhoods, in parks, wherever young moms can be found. You know, they are looking for someone to come alongside of them and help them understand that this journey is, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And sometimes, you know, being overwhelmed as a mom can be daunting. And the Mom Initiative exists to help moms along the journey and discover that Jesus is the answer to their every need. And, you know, one of the things I thought about before I called you is that imagine mentoring a young mom who is in juvenile, and she's maybe 18 years old, 17 years old, and she's got a young baby. If you mentor that mom and help her understand what a mother is from a biblical perspective, she will come out of that juvenile shelter a different mom than she was when she entered. The same with those who are in prison, the same with those who are hurting, maybe in low-income apartment complexes where, you know, they're just trying to struggle to put food on the table. How beautiful would it be for the body of Christ to come alongside those moms and help them in their journey and help them see Jesus in us? And that's really the goal of the Mom Initiative, is not only to leave a legacy of faith for those who come behind us, but to use it as a power evangelistic tool to reach those who don't know Christ.
That is wonderful. Let me ask you this. In my experience in women's ministry, saying the word mentor is kind of a taboo, kind of a scary thing that a lot of people want to jump back and say, oh, no, not me. I don't want to be a mentor. How does the Mom Initiative, or how does women go about mentoring? What does it actually look like to go and to work with these women? Kind of paint a picture for that.
Okay, that's a great question. And that actually is one of the most significant things, I think, that hinders women from becoming mentors, because they feel awkward, they feel inadequate. It is kind of a scary thought, you know, who am I to come alongside? But really, mentoring is like discipleship. It's just coming along in their journey and sharing them the faithfulness of Christ in your journey, sharing your mess-ups, your failures, being real and relative to them. And so it doesn't have to be difficult. And so the Mom Initiative exists to help you in that, to dispel those beliefs that I can't do this. Because if you've been a mom for any length of time at all, you have experience that God wants to use in the lives of other moms, even if it's your failures. And I would even say especially if it's your failures, mm-hmm. because then you're able to say, you know, I went down this road, and I just want to tell you it was not good. And there's so much that older women have to offer. And one of the things, Cynthia, that really is powerful to me is Titus 2, where it tells the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husband and how to love their children. Now, I remember the first time I read that scripture, I thought, but I do love my children, and I do love my husband. But as you kind of grow in your journey, you understand that love is so much more than a four-letter word with a two-word definition. Loving is very difficult. Loving means having to do some of the hard things and making different choices that are inconvenient and uncomfortable. And a mentor is someone who can help a mom love well. And I think every mom on the planet wants to love her children well. And so that's really the goal, is that mentors would come along and say, you know, this is where I've been, or I messed up with that too. You know, don't feel bad, and not to be intimidated. And also there are resources that are available through the Mom Initiative on our free resources page. Those are great conversation starters for a mom to sit down with a younger mom and read through, say, 5 stories together and go through those questions together. So those are tools that are provided through the Mom Initiative that help those mom mentor groups have questions that moms don't feel uncomfortable because they have something that will be a catalyst for conversation. And so it's been really neat to see. We have Facing Our Fears and Overwhelmed. Those are 2 free resources available online at themominitiative.com. And we also have 25 moms on our team. They are amazing women, writers, speakers, women who have their own ministries, but they're passionate about Jesus, and they're passionate about mentoring moms and making a difference in their communities as well as in this culture.
Have you had any, just some wow God moment stories through this Mom Initiative that you can just maybe recall off the top of your head that you could maybe share of how God is working in a tangible way?
Yes. In fact, I have several. It's right off the top of my head. One is the fact that the Mom Initiative has mom groups in, like, Nigeria. I got email from a lady in Nigeria who has begun a mom group. I have emails from other moms across the country and in Canada, Australia. And so the mom group is becoming something that is being used. And that really was my heart, Cynthia, when I started the Mom Initiative, because my husband and I were missionaries. And when we go on the mission field, we tend to use anything and everything as a tool to reach people for Christ. And mentoring is just that. And so that's one of my goals in the Mom Initiative, is that we use it to mentor others to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But another one was a letter I just recently received, and it was a mom who read through Overwhelmed and said how thankful she was that she read that, because she felt like she was the only one. And each story ministered to her heart. And so I get letters all the time, and it just thrills my soul to know that God is using the Mom Initiative and the Mom Initiative team to make a difference in the lives of other mothers.
Okay. Are you moving around you're cutting out on this?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was in the same spot. I don't know what's going on. I apologize.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Let's talk about, just for a few minutes, how women can get involved. Do they just go on the website? Is there a Facebook page? Is it? Do they have local communities? How would they go about finding those things?
You can go on the website where it says Join Here, Join the Revolution, and you can click down there, and it's got a form that you can fill out. And you can start a mom group in your own community or in your church. A lot of para-ministries are using it, like MOPS groups are using some of our materials, Moms International, and different other ministries, homeless shelters, crisis pregnancy centers are using it, as well as churches and individual moms. So you can just click on that link, fill out that form, And we will send you the free PDF of Overwhelmed. You can also click on our free resource page and get that as well and begin mom groups. We have a list, a database online where people can list their mom group there. So people in the area can find a mom group by looking online and discovering one in their own area.
Now, is there a charge for this? Do the women have to pay, or how does that go about?
No, there's no fee. This is just something we're trying to do to help moms, to help the church really impact this world through the power and the beauty of mentoring. So, no, there's no fee. They just fill out the forms, and we are here for them. If they have any questions or if they need any help or assistance, they can contact me, and I would be glad to be able to help them, you know, assist them in making their mom group the best it can be.
That is wonderful. I love that, because so many times you find that you want to pull them in, but they have to pay something, and a lot of times our young moms out there don't have that, those resources, and this is something that is wonderful, a resource for them to be able to jump in and to find some encouragement and to find help. So we just have a few more minutes left, and I wanted to just let's go back on your story about how God has taken the ashes, the things that you have gone through in your childhood and your adult years, and made them blossom into beauty. What is something that you have been called upon a lot to share with women out there? You speak all over. You've been on several shows and written articles to women. What is the main point of your message? What is something that you feel that God is saying, I have got to share with these women?
The main crux of everything about me is Jesus. He really is the one who changed my life, changed my heart, changed my destiny, changed my journey. And so I really want people to understand that Jesus is really real in real life, that he really does bring healing and hope, and that no matter what people go through, that he is the answer for their greatest need. He knows their deepest fear. He knows their greatest pain, and yet he is there to come alongside of them and walk them through it and bring beauty out of the ashes. And truthfully, I love to see women flourish in their faith and to understand that, you know, we sometimes are such anemic Christians because what we do is we try to thrive on yesterday's meat, you know, and, mm-hmm. and we need to be in the Word and understand that it is the Word that feeds our souls and strengthens us for today and gives us the power to walk in victory. The Broken No More, what I talked about earlier, that really is probably a very foundational message that I share often because, truthfully, so many women are holding on to the pain of their past or really even holding on to the pain of their present. And they don't understand that God has a plan and a purpose for their lives, and it's so much more than what they're dealing with. And he really does bring beauty out of ashes, but women have to be willing to not only give their ashes over to God, but to believe his word. You know, sometimes people feel condemned where, you know, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation right now, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through. There's no condemnation to you that Jesus, that really the Father sees us through the blood of Jesus and that we can walk in victory because of that.
I love that because I've dealt with several women that have, they can't get past that. They can't get past the past and they mm-hmm. can't let it go. And so what do you say to the woman that's out there trying to encourage another woman that won't let go of the past? Or the woman that, you know, is saying, well, I'm still involved with drugs or I'm still in this bad relationship, but I have to clean those up before I can ever become close to God. How do you share with those women of the steps that they can take to minister to these others?
Well, Well, there's a couple of things. One, there's a resource on my regular website, stephanieschott.com, and you can go there, and it's called Becoming You, and it really gives you some foundational principles about how to take your thoughts captive and some different things you can do in your journey to becoming who you were created to be. And what that means is not letting those thoughts control you. And oftentimes that's what we do. We go there and then we stay there because we want to mull it over instead of, you know, going past that and finding victory over our thoughts. And so there's a resource there called Becoming You. And I really want to encourage you to do that. It's something the Lord took me through and showed me when I was kind of going through a season of depression of how to come out of it. And it really is ultimately found in Job chapter 40, I think it's verse 10, where he says, and God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And we get our minds off of ourselves and our circumstances, and we start praying for others, and we don't build a wall of mirrors around ourselves, making our lives about me, myself, and I, but we start praying beyond ourselves, and there's freedom in that. God liberates us through that. The other thing I would say is that as women, we need to be speaking the word of God to other women, encouraging them with what God's word says, not what we think or what we say. But if you're encouraging somebody who's dealing with maybe an abusive situation, or maybe if you're dealing with a substance abuse, maybe they're addicted to something, that you encourage them with God's word as a standard. And we have a lot of different support groups out there, and they're great, especially the ones that are Christian support groups. But if it's not biblically founded, the advice that you're giving, then it's only going to sustain them for a day or two. But Jesus really does. The Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. And if we're not walking in that freedom as Christians, then we're not walking in who Christ has made us to be. And it's really a choice that we make. I remember when I first got saved, understanding this newfound conviction that I had by the Holy Spirit. I didn't even, you know about that before I got saved. And, you know, someone once told me, he said, you know, when you sin before you're a Christian, you have no clue. It's just what you do. You're being who you are. But when you sin after you become a Christian, it becomes a choice. And that's so true.
That is so true. Well, thank you so much for sharing so much with us with just in the last 30 minutes. I'm so thankful that you were available to come on and to share with us. And listeners, I want to encourage you to go on to the sites. Stephanie, will you share with them the websites that they can find you?
You can find me at StephanieShott, S-H-O-T-T.com, or at themominitiative.com. Either one of those sites you can find me.
Those are wonderful. I've been on both of them, looked through them. I've connected with several of the ladies that are on the Mom Initiative team, and they are all wonderful. And I think this is a great ministry, something that is very much needed. So thank you so much, Stephanie, for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. It was great to be with you.
Thank you. Well, for those of you out there that are listening, I just thank you so much. On Stephanie's biography, she has a little quote from Corrie Ten Boom that says, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still," and that is so true. God is there. He is there through your journey, and he will pull you through. I just thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.